Hi, this is Russ Volkman for the Integral Leadership Collaborative conference coming up, and today I'm talking with Raul Quiñones Rosado. Raul is the author of a book that I found to be very important. It's very unusual. It's very different from what you find in a great deal of the integral literature, and it definitely is in the stream of the integral literature, called Consciousness in Action. And he is someone who's been working with Puerto Rican and other communities in the United States. He's living back in Puerto Rico now and has an organization called Sea Integral. Raul, could you tell us a little bit about what Sea Integral is?
Yes, yeah, Sea Integral, or as we also pronounce it in Spanish, Se Integra, comes from, you know, refers to, the C refers to change, integral change, but also the work that we do around community, change, culture, and consciousness. Myself and a good friend, colleague of many years, work with people who are social change agents, people that do social justice work or helping professionals, students, academics, consultants abroad, a variety of people that are committed to change, the personal and the social change, and actually who like us and come to us wanting to bring together the multiple dimensions of that individual and collective level of work. So we've been doing that for a while, and we do it here both in Puerto Rico and in the United States, mostly in the Northeast, in the Massachusetts area and other parts of the Northeast.
Great. Well, what are you currently interested in and exciting about, the kinds of things that you're teaching or working on or applying?
Yeah, for precisely that type of work, that is something that I've been involved in for some time. It comes out of an evolution of the work and where the model, the consciousness and action model, came from. It came out of a leadership development work that we were doing specifically with Puerto Ricans and other Latinos when we were in Western Massachusetts doing community work there, and so it has been the ongoing evolution of that, looking at change in its various dimensions. You know, how it is that people of color, women, people that have been historically oppressed and marginalized in society, and who are committed to social change, also recognize the need to do some work internally at personal level. And we understand that, you know, that change will, you know, have to happen. We wouldn't say first at the personal level and then at the societal level. It all happens at the same time in different waves. You know, it's a very dynamic process. And the nature of the work has been to look at all of those aspects. So that's been an ongoing project. The work of Sea Integral, however, has broadened the scope of people with whom we work. Originally, as I mentioned, it was focused specifically with people in the Latino community wanting to see change within their organizations and communities. But we have since just really broadened that and worked in really more diverse and multicultural settings, multicultural groups of people.
Fascinating. You know,
so that's been really the, you know, the primary interest, you know, continued evolution and refinement of that work.
You know, one of the pairs of concepts that you use in your book that was very important and interesting to me when I read it had to do with the notion of oppression and paired with the idea of liberation. And I think one of the things that struck me about it was this internal-external aspects of these things. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the work, you know, and the consciousness in action model, you know, as a theoretical model, but also a tool for change, you know, practice. You know, it stems from a vision of integral well-being, you know, well-being of the individual level, the personal level, of the body, mind, spirit, and heart. But understanding that development at the personal level and the well-being is the balance and harmony of all those aspects of the individual, but that it occurs within a social, economic, cultural, and political context, so that communities also are developing. So the individual and the personal development happens within in the community and social and larger even national context. That in an ideal world, well, then, you know, there would be, you know, the process of well-being and full integral development of individuals and society would happen as those elements and aspects across those dimensions, you know, interacted and people sought balance and harmony and integrality, so we might say a cohesion among all of those aspects. Now, what is clear from our experience as Latinos or people of color generally, and then also, you know, when thinking in terms of race or ethnicity, but also and when we think of gender and class and other important social identities, is that we know that the way that our society is organized, there are economic, political, cultural, and social forces at play where there is not an equality of conditions across different social groups, social identity groups. And therefore, you know, there is a power and there is an institutional power that is set in motion and that is in historical process and that's been, you know, historical forever and within the context of the United States, well, actually also forever as well. So we understand them that it is those forces of racism, classism, sexism, homophobia, nationalism, capitalism, all of those forces that hinder the process of well-being and full development and sustainable development, not only of those groups that are oppressed, but of everyone involved. Everyone's humanity is compromised by the presence of oppression and those different forms of oppression. And, you know, so that is, you know, that dynamic of the misuse and the abuse of the economic, political, social, and cultural power by dominant groups of people in order to maintain a privileged position in relationship to those dominated and subordinated. Well, that's, you know, that's a key fundamental understanding and premise of our work.
I think that's an important idea about, for example, the notion of oppression that not only those we think of as being the targets of the institutions you're talking about, if I can call it that, but those who are controlling those institutions are also infected by the oppression of the dynamics that occur.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is very, very clear, you know, that we, all of us, have been born and have been raised and socialized within a larger cultural context in the messages, in the myths, and a distorted history that really shapes our consciousness, our sense of self, our identity and sense of self, or many, multiple identities actually, but ultimately a sense of self that would have us feel and believe that we are superior to others in some instances, in some social context, and in superior to some and inferior to others. And that process of socialization, you know, when we start to believe the stereotypes, the myths, the images and the concepts that are passed down across the generations to everyone in society about, you know, the inherent superiority of men over women, you know, we men then not only enter into that power dynamic in relationship to women, generally speaking, but we also suffer what that means to us, you know, that limits our humanity as well, you know. It's not the same kind of suffering, and it's certainly the kind of intervention that needs to be done in terms of correcting that. It's not the same for us men than it is for in terms of, you know, the changes that need to happen with women and their claims for social justice and equality and equity for women. But there's a damage to our psyche, to our spirit, to our heart, and to our relationships that, you know, that is seen and evidenced throughout the, you know, the institutions in our society. The same thing then in terms of race and class and culture. You know, so it's not only racism doesn't only harm and injure people of color, but it injures and harms white people who are in a privileged position. You know, and a belief, you know, a culture that you know, that sustains consciously or and unconsciously that you know, that white are in a position of power because, you know, they're culturally superior or, you know, for a number of reasons. So that's limiting, you know. All forms, you know, of oppression affects negatively all people involved.
Yeah. What are some practices that you associate with integral leadership that are relevant to addressing those kinds of challenges?
Well, from the beginning, you know, thinking about from the beginning of integral theory as I know it, have followed it, you know, and particularly integral psychology was the outgrowth, sort of was within a continuum of humanistic psychology, you know, existential psychology, humanistic psychology, transpersonal psychology, and then integral. One of the key elements in transpersonal psychology, which is also very central to the notion of integral psychology and integral theory overall, is the notion of the whole aspect of spirituality, which was historically seen as separate and relegated and part of the field of philosophy or whatnot. And, you know, fortunately, there's been a lot of change around that, but I think that, you know, there is a lot to learn from all fields, you know, from psychology and from spirituality, from organizational development and other practices and whatnot, about how it is that people relate and what happens that breaks down not only the communications but even at an emotional level. Where does the natural oneness of humans and all beings, other humans and all other beings, where does that oneness break down? And more specifically, where does it break down in the context of society? And it's not a separate thing than seen from other perspectives, but you know, I think that spirituality and other spiritual or transformative practices that are key to integral leadership, would point to that. You know, so what can we learn from spiritual practice, meditation, for example, that would point to how it is that we disconnect from each other, and therefore what we would need to do to reconnect. One of the things that are essential to the work of consciousness in action is not only that we will develop a critical awareness and critical consciousness of our personal selves in the context of society, but that we also have a greater awareness of our own personal reactivity and defensiveness, and how it is that we, in the midst of social dynamics, withdraw and contract from one another and begin to defend ourselves and our position personally and as groups. And so I think that, the introspection and the insight and the practice of noticing that and even relaxing, that is one of many key practices that would inform integral leadership.
Right. You know, we're calling this online international conference the Integral Leadership Collaborative precisely because popularizing or increasing the awareness of integral leadership in its various forms is a collaborative effort. Looking optimistically into the future, what's an outcome you would hope that this conference, this online conference, can help our community to achieve?
Well, I would hope that, that the larger integral community, and more specifically the integral leadership community, could truly address and embrace the whole notions of liberation and transformation. I think that overall the community, integral community and perspective tends to look towards transformation of consciousness, looking towards what we need to move forward as consciousness evolves and develops. My sense and my observation over many years now is that the same community shies away from or steers away from the whole notion of liberation from oppression. Feels more comfortable talking about spiritual liberation, but not liberation from oppression, and that tends to get categorized and minimized as something that is, strictly a dynamic of green meme and people don't want to go there. And I would hope that, hopefully I won't be the only voice, in the conference, the only one interested in addressing the aspects of liberation as an essential part of the transformative process. I hope that the community overall can begin to address and embrace, these issues, and this important part of our aspect. One thing that is very clear to me is that all major problems in society in the United States and Puerto Rico around the world are either caused by or exacerbated by oppression. And if the integral leadership community has any, intention of addressing those issues in any effective way, I have the conviction that it will be key that we look at liberation from oppression and transformation straight on.
Well, I certainly hope that your hopes come true. And I very much appreciate having had the chance to talk with you briefly, Raul, and I look forward very much to your presentation at the conference.
Great, me too. I look forward to it and being able to talk and exchange with everyone that's going to be there.